Hello, welcome to another episode of EMJ Live on this beautiful, sunny, warm summer afternoon in South Bend, Indiana. Got lots to talk about today, but before I get into that, I want to announce that I am going to be speaking live and in person, unlike here, which is an AI-generated figure, in St. Louis. A week from tomorrow, Saturday, July 19th, 2025 at 6 p.m. The location can be found by calling this number, 314-322-0335. I will be, the price of admission includes a book, my new book, Walking with a Bible and a Gun, The Rise, Fall, and Return of American Identity. I will sign that book if you want me to. You will get the book without having to pay shipping charges and all the other hassle that goes with it. There will be question and answer after my speech. So a lot of people are interested. People are coming from all over. So sign up, make sure you get the book and get a place at this conference. We are going to talk today about John Henry Weston, who was removed as CEO and editor-chief of LifeSite News following a board vote on July 8th, 2025. The board's official statement cited careful consideration, extensive prayer, and a commitment to best serve our donors, readers, and employees, but did not provide a specific reason for his dismissal. LifeSite News described Weston as being on a well-earned sabbatical. Nobody believes that. No, I don't know why they've said it. No one. The only thing that's even worse, which they say, than saying that he has a well-earned sabbatical, is saying that he will now have more time to spend with his family. Every time somebody gets caught with his pants down and is forced out of a position, he will say, I want to spend more time with my family. Speculation and reports suggest Weston's firing was linked to his editorial discretion, particularly his focus on traditional Catholic issues, such as promoting the Latin Mass and criticizing perceived crises in the Catholic Church, including Pope Leo XIV's leadership, but more particularly, certainly his attacks on Pope Francis's leadership of the Catholic Church. There was all kinds of pushback. Apparently, there's some type of non-disclosure agreement involved here because no one is saying anything approximating the real reason for the justification of this act, where a man who created the whole operation is suddenly let go. My interaction with LifeSite News began, Bishop Strickland, a supporter of Weston, denied claims that Weston was removed for speaking the truth about Pope Leo XIV on church issues, though he did not elaborate on the actual reason. This is, again, as ridiculous as it gets, okay? He wasn't removed for speaking the truth. Whoever said he was removed for speaking the truth, okay? Bishop Strickland explained why he wasn't fired, but why he was fired still remains a mystery. Closest we got to this was Steve Jalzovich tweeting that Weston was fired, quote, for making LifeSite News too traditionally Catholic. In recent years, this is Jalzovich, who was in there at the beginning, closely associated with Weston. In recent years, John Henry worked and insisted that we change the highly successful LifeSite News mission to become a dramatically different one of a traditional Latin Mass Catholic evangelizing religious organization to draw readers into the Catholic Church, according to the teachings of the Council of Trent. Our fears about the dangers of the dramatic mission change have proven to have been valid. Readership has plummeted. Many have been dismayed by the change. LifeSite News has been widely viewed as a state of the conscious website, and donations have dramatically declined this past campaign. That's as close as I can see to an accurate description of what happened. But I think there's something more important going on here. And that's what I'd like to talk about today on this program. My interaction with LifeSite News began on December 16, 2020, when they published an article by Alan Fimister, which claimed that to be really pro-life, we had to fight anti-Semitism. In response to that preposterous claim, I wrote, abortion is a fundamental Jewish value. If pro-lifers fight anti-Semitism, they promote Jewish power. If they promote Jewish power, they are promoting abortion. Why is LifeSite News promoting abortion? That comment got taken down within minutes, leaving my question unanswered. Just because you don't answer the question doesn't mean there's you can get the idea to disappear. Unfortunately, LifeSite News couldn't eliminate this issue with its delete button because LifeSite was wedded from its inception to an obsolete category known as, quote, the Judeo-Christian position on abortion. As late as February 4th, 2024, John Henry Weston announced that LifeSite News was, quote, a media outlet dedicated to promoting the great importance to society of traditional Judeo-Christian moral principles, close quote. That position became impossible to defend in the wake of the Dobbs decision, which overturned Roe versus Wade on June 24th, 2022. When eventually over 400 Jewish organizations claimed that abortion was, as I said, a fundamental Jewish value. 6 months after Dobbs, on December 7th, 2022, LifeSite News headed off in a different direction, running a short piece claiming that Sister Lucia, one of the Fatima seers, had been replaced by an imposter. What's this got to do with abortion? This prompted me to respond on X, was Sister Lucy replaced by an imposter, or is LifeSite News trying to distract us from the fact that they can't address the current abortion situation? At this point, LifeSite News, under Weston's direction, pivoted from being a pro-life website to an increasingly strident traditionalist website, promoting the Latin Mass and positions which challenge the authority of Pope Francis. On January 4th, 2024, Weston posted an AI-generated picture of Pope Francis diving into a crowd at the Vatican over the caption, "The Pope is in free fall. In your charity, pray for his conversion. It is a spiritual work of mercy to care for his soul. We know he is confusing the little ones, our children. Remember the millstone warning from our Lord," close quote. I'm sure the Pope was gratified to get that message. This condescending piece of nonsense prompted me to post 2 days later, Habemus Papam. His name is John Henry Weston. As I discussed in a podcast with Dana Pavlik shortly after its inception in Canada, LifeSite News ran afoul of that country's draconian hate speech laws and was rescued by one of its Jewish backers who granted the organization a license to be pro-life as long as they supported the Jewish agenda by promoting concepts like Judeo-Christian values and publishing articles like the one by Alan Fimister, which made the absurd claim that opposition to abortion demanded opposition to anti-Semitism. Weston's turn toward traditionalism served Jewish interests by creating disunity in the Catholic Church, distinguishing between Novus Ordo Catholics and first-class Catholics who attended the Latin Mass and criticized Pope Francis as an imposter. Traditionis Custodes, Pope Francis's motu proprio banning the Latin Mass, predictably enraged the increasingly schismatic traditionalists who supported LifeSite News. That group included Weston, along with Michael Voris, before he succumbed once again to his homosexual impulses, and Bishop Strickland, who got removed as Bishop of Tyler, Texas, for his association with Voris. Bishop Strickland put wind into the sails of the de facto schismatics who were swarming to LifeSite News on the Bishop Strickland show, produced by LifeSite News, when he said, please pray for Pope Francis to turn from this destructive path. It would take a miracle, but with God, all things are possible. In the wake of Fiducia Supplicans, this is the encyclical giving blessings to homosexuals, but not to homosexual couples, a distinction which he made perfectly clear many times, and which is head of the Doctrine of Congregation of Faith, Tuco Fernandez, made as well. In the wake of Fiducia Supplicans, John Henry Weston posted a demeaning picture of the Pope with an admonition calling for the Pope's conversion, prompting one blogger to ask, to what? The obvious answer was to the Church of Pope John Henry Weston. Michael Matt's newspaper, The Remnant, responded to Fiducia Supplicans by linking it to a bogus lightning strike in Argentina, claiming that this is a sign from God that Francis has either lost the papacy or never had it. Sede Vacantism was in the air, and it was generating serious money at LifeSite News. At this point, Weston, Taylor Marshall, Michael Matt, and Robert Moynihan supported Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano's increasingly strident attacks on Pope Francis. Weston closed ranks with Vigano as the Trad Alliance lurched towards schism. But the crisis which loomed over the horizon as the donations poured in became a reality on July 5th, 2024, when the Vatican excommunicated Vigano after finding him guilty of schism. On that day, I tweeted, Archbishop Vigano has been excommunicated for the crime of schism. Quo vadis Taylor Marshall? Quo vadis John Henry Weston? Quo vadis Michael Matt? Quo vadis Robert Moynihan? Are you going to put your money where your mouth is and follow Vigano into schism? Or are you going to apologize for supporting him and leading your followers into the sin which got him excommunicated? Non datur tertius, which for those who haven't studied Latin means there's no third possibility here. Taylor Marshall pretended that nothing happened, did it a podcast about raising cattle. Robert Moynihan resolutely sided with both the Vatican and Vigano, but Weston, unable to unite his identity as a traditionalist Catholic with his identity as a right-to-life activist, followed Vigano out of the church door into schism, presumably under the assumption that this would not affect LifeSite News standing as a pro-life organization, a grave miscalculation which eventually led to his demise as CEO. On May 3rd, 2025, the Jewish question, which I raised in response to the Femister article and which took on new urgency when the Dobbs decision made it clear that abortion is a fundamental Jewish value, the Jewish question re-entered the picture in a way that was nothing less than bizarre when LifeSite News was accused of anti-Semitism, prompting me to tweet more evidence of the demise of the Third Republic. LifeSite News was now considered anti-Semitic. It turns out that Richard Weaver was right when he said ideas have consequences. In the aftermath of the Dobbs decision, both Weston and Yelsevich had to admit that the Judeo-Christian position on abortion no longer existed, not even as a political fiction. This meant that to fight abortion, LifeSite News had to take on the Jews, which is the exact opposite of what Alan Femister said in 2020, and probably the reason that this article is no longer available on the LifeSite News website. We're going to post the link of it to it if you want to read it on our website. What followed from the evaporation of this fundamental principle were articles excoriating the Talmud in ways that must have outraged LifeSite News, Jewish backers, and hastened Weston's demise. Needless to say, this could have been handled better if Jalcevich had engaged in a discussion with me when I raised the issue instead of pressing the delete button. But Weston and company were only capable of learning this lesson in the expensive school of experience, where fools alone are pupils. That's my rant. Let's hear what you have to say.
All right. Hello again. My name is Mike Bajakis, Dr. Jones' assistant. For you the guys who don't know, welcome to the Collins segment of the show. Collins are made via our Telegram. Link's going to be in description wherever you may be watching this. And then later in the stream, we'll read off questions from the various chats. So quick rules, be respectful of time, and do not forget to unmute yourself. I allow you to speak on my end, and then you have to press the unmute button on your end. All right, here we go. Instructions are over. Let's go to Telegram. Let's start with Dan McGee. Are you there?
I am here. Can you guys hear me?
I can.
Dr. Jones, always a pleasure to speak with you. Huge fan. Just ordered your book, Walking with a Bible and a Gun, and got your July-August issue.
Thank you.
Just wondering what your thought. Oh yeah, no, you're the best. You're the GOAT. I love you.
Thank you for your support. I'm always grateful for people who support me. Go ahead.
Fantastic. And I'm working my way through the Jewish Revolutionary Spirit. I'm working out with that book actually, bench pressing with it. Anyway.
Good.
What are your thoughts on this Epstein list reversal from Bongino and from Pam Bondi and the entire Trump administration acting like this just isn't happening now? Have you been following this?
Yeah, I have. So when are they going to release Ghislaine Maxwell from jail?
Right.
If there was no list, if there were no trial, child trafficking, no prostitution, why is she in jail? I don't know. What are they thinking here? So I'm just going to go to what I've seen and draw some conclusions. It turns out it looks as if Kash Patel has a Jewish girlfriend. Where have I heard this before? Remember Monica Lewinsky? Remember this 25-year-old Jewish girl is a something, has a position at Prager University. Prager University. Isn't that kind of respectable? Well, it looks as if she's involved with the old Israeli honeypot thing. And apparently, I'm going to assume that these files, which Pam Bondi talked about reading and tried to censor because they had so much child pornography, but which now do not exist, I'm assuming that they implicate important people, but more importantly, the state of Israel. And we can't do that. We just cannot do that. And so they're going to destroy their credibility in order to preserve the sanctity of the state of Israel. This is known as political suicide. It's not going to go anywhere. Pam Bondi should resign at this point. She will probably be forced out. Trump will throw her under the bus because the whole point of this administration is to preserve the sanctity of the state of Israel, being above any criticism or any attempt to rein them in to the world of civilized people.
I think that's an absolutely correct assessment. More fool me for believing that some change might come with this administration. Anyway, Dr. Jones, keep up the good work.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much for that question. We'll keep moving here. Next is going to be Amy Smith. Are you there? You there, Amy? Mute button in the center. She's called before, she knows. Maybe she's not there. We'll get back to you, Amy. Let's see. GT, go ahead, GT. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can.
Hello, Dr. Jones. Thank you again for all the work you do for the church. I've read just about all your books, and I'm about halfway through the new one.
God bless you.
And
thank you for your support. Thank you for your support. I had an incident yesterday where I was in a Zoom call, and suddenly someone. I'm not going to talk about it. Ask your question.
Okay. Well, I hope it's not too off subject here, but you're making the case when you talk about the basis of America being satanic, and you're using the Puritans and their rebellious model, and you get into all those details, but the basic gist I'm getting is the underlying principle of America is like, we don't need a pope and we don't need a king, and that's kind of the mentality, which I think I'm starting to get my arms around. But there, you may have answered this before, but can you talk about, there's still goodness in the stars and stripes. There's something blessed about America that's separate from what I think you're trying to, the message you're trying to tell. Or am I right about that? Or can you talk about that?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, what do you mean by America? Do you mean the empire? Do you mean, no. Do you mean the St. Joe River? I was rowing on the St. Joe River yesterday. I saw a bald eagle rise up out of a tree as I rode by. I mean, this is the America that I know. This is the America that allowed people to come over here and gave them opportunities and then tried to control them and then tried to destroy them if they wouldn't go along. So what we have here is an oligarchy that is at war with its own people, which has direct connections to Protestantism, specifically the Protestant Reformation in England, where basically a foreign cabal took over the country, lost all its legitimacy, and then viewed its own people as the enemy. And in order to control those people, Queen Elizabeth created the first police state under Walsingham, which made it a crime for a Catholic priest to say a mass. And if he were caught, he would have his hanged until not dead, have his entrails cut out of him while still alive and boiled in oil. Is that England? Or is England the people, the Catholic soul that was being extinguished there? We have the same issue with America. We have a ruling class that, instead of supporting the international Protestant elite of revolutionaries and Satanists in the 16th century, now supports the Jewish oligarchy and elites who have their headquarters in Israel. It's the same thing. You always have this antagonistic elite that views the American people as the enemy. And we thought that maybe Donald Trump would change that, and it turns out his narcissism has grown absolutely monstrous. The only thing I can compare him to would be the bloated figure of Henry VIII, completely disconnected from reality, the total pawn of anyone who gets in the room and flatters him, like Benjamin Netanyahu, who came up with the absurd proposal that Trump should win the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think you're just drawing a distinction between America as a reality and empire versus the principles of democracy, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, all that. I think that's kind of what you're getting at.
Yeah. The book is, in a sense, the story of that struggle going constantly back and forth. You have the migration of large numbers of Irish and German Catholics in the middle of the 19th century. You can't have that number of people come and not have some type of effect. And then you have the Protestant nativists, the descendants of the Puritans, waging war on them too. So it's constantly back and forth. The civil rights movement, the destruction of Catholic ethnic neighborhoods by the WASP elite and their Negro proxy warriors. Same thing over and over again. You got this constant struggle back and forth.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you, GT, for that question. We'll try Amy Smith again. Are you there, Amy?
Yes, thank you. Sorry, I had some spam phone call. I just was wondering, you know how with the two-party system in the U.S., we have the Democrats and Republicans, and they pretend to be at war, and they're fighting really hard against each other, but then they're both supporting, you know, massive immigration to create a vulnerable workforce that can be underpaid and poisoned without consequence. And they're supporting the war machine and the Israel First agenda, so, you know, they might say they don't like certain abuses and rally against the other side, but then they still support the policies that allow this. Is this sort of the same thing that you're seeing with the trad, you know, we're fiercely fighting against the Novus Ordo and the...
I think that one of the things that made John Henry Weston useful for the oligarchs was the division he caused in the Catholic Church and in the Right to Life movement. So let's take the Right to Life movement. Are you a traditionalist right to lifer who goes to the Latin Mass? What's that got to do with abortion? Who cares? Who cares whether you go to the Latin Mass? And what's that got to do with your support of abortion? So you've divided the Right to Life movement by imposing this dichotomy. He also divided the Catholic Church. So now Pope John Henry pretty much says that if you don't go to the Trident Mass, you're a second-class Catholic. This is music to Jewish ears. And then it allows him to distract everyone from the fact that, John Henry, you have a serious problem in dealing with abortion. I'm talking about the Time of the Femister article, because you can't talk about the main group that is promoting abortion. If you don't know who you are and you can't identify the enemy, you will lose every battle. So maybe he was like the Bob Dole of the Right to Life movement. He was paid to lose. He was nominated to lose. I don't know. I'm talking about that. He's not saying anything. No one's saying anything. We just have to judge, make up our own minds based on the facts that I've put on the table today.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Amy. All right, keep moving here. Let's go with news from Godfrey's. Are you there? News from Godfrey's.
Hello, Mike.
Yes.
It's Father Jeff. It's Father Jeff.
Hey, Father Jeff.
From downtown Chicago.
Good to hear from you, Father.
Yeah. Well, I'm just adding a little bit to what you said. I think, I mean, it's kind of ironic that this is, you know, in the 1980s, the neoconservatives took over all of the Catholic press, and they tried to limit, right, the Catholic press to basically speaking about abortion. And for the most part, LifeSite News stuck to that. But then what you see now in the last 2 years is that once they get control of you as only dealing with abortion, they can further divide you on further lines to make you even incoherent with that little bit that you have.
That's right.
Right? So even what you have will be taken away from you.
That's right. You're absolutely right. By the way, your statement that the neocons took over the Catholic press is not an exaggeration. The man who blew the whistle on that was Dale Vree, the editor of New Oxford Review, and somebody, he wouldn't name the name, but someone approached him and asked him to, if he would give him a lot of money if he would support a muscular foreign policy, which muscular means the supporting Israel. Dale turned him down. So this is exactly what happened. You had the creation of First Things, for example, at this period of time, which was created by a grant that Richard John Neuhaus hijacked from the Rockford Institute, because the people in New York didn't like Rockford. They have a guy who's got a very big delete finger who deletes that every time someone puts that up on the First That's Things right. website. He comes in every morning with a big bandage around his delete finger. But you're absolutely right.
And then also the trigger was actually in the article in May. I mean, obviously there's these other problems, but from the standpoint of the Jews, the article in May saying maybe we've gone too far in Palestine, right? That's just beyond the pale.
I think you're right. I think it was, first of all, as I said, ideas have consequences. There's nothing they could do about what happened after the Dobbs decision when the Jews said abortion's a fundamental value, a fundamental Jewish value. Either you address it and you take it seriously, or you lose all credibility. And I think in the interim, John Henry decided, I'm going to talk about something. I can't deal with it. I can't make up my mind. And so we tried to do the whole thing, tried to do the Voris thing. Voris made a lot of money on McCarrick. He prayed every day for another McCarrick so he could make a lot of money. And John Henry made a lot of money attacking Pope Francis. Oh, wait a minute, something else happened. He died. So now we have a new pope. So now what? Now what? And I think they, but the inexorable movement of consciousness through history made it inevitable that they would have to come around and deal with the Jewish question. That's what I'm saying.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Father.
All right. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you a lot, Father. Good to hear from you. Next, we're going to go with Butch Mailhot. Butch, are you there?
Hello, I am. Can you hear me, Doctor?
I can.
Oh, hey. Well, I guess, you know, first I want to just comment on that other caller. I think that my opinion is that what Americans should keep in mind is that Catholics have 2,000 years of experience being the best citizens of every country that they live in. That goes all the way back to Tertullian writing to the emperor, who's a pagan, explaining to him that they're model citizens and they pray for the empire and they pray for the country and they're always working towards the common good. So we all should be working as Catholics for the common good of America. So
I agree.
That being said, I'd like to just talk about a little bit about what the American identity and get your thoughts about this statement. I was listening to your show last week and about identity. And I think, is it too simplistic to say that the African Americans have been failed by Protestantism? I think the Protestantism failed African Americans. My godson went to Notre Dame and a lot of his friends were Catholics from Kenya and they're appalled by the behavior of American African Americans. They don't relate to you know, the crime and the illegitimacy. Right. And I think that Protestantism basically in its end, it always affirms your passions. You know, it just becomes the religion that affirms what you want. And we saw that recently with Paxton's wife or whatever, who says, I'm getting a biblical divorce from my husband. Biblical divorce.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. The Jews have tried to turn the blacks into proxy warriors ever since the creation of the NAACP. But one of the crucial moments came at the high watermark of the civil rights movement. The civil rights movement there were a lot of Jewish lawyers involved, but it was really a Protestant crusade. It gave all of the Protestant churches some type of sense of relevance and that they were on the right side of history and so on and so forth. But right in the middle of that, was where the betrayal took place, and that was with the Moynihan Report. So the Catholic Daniel Patrick Moynihan realizes that the big problem in the black community is illegitimacy, 21% illegitimacy rate, and he's going to do something about it. And he proposes hiring black men, not women, black men at the post office, paying them a decent wage so the women can stay home and raise their children and letting them run around the street and getting involved in gangs. Okay, the people who betrayed that, who destroyed that Catholic initiative that would have made a significant impact on black family life and black income, were the Protestant churches. Specifically, I'll give you a specific instance. Senator Mullen, Marty Mullen from Pennsylvania, ran the budget committee. He held up the entire budget of the state of Pennsylvania because it included funding for birth control clinics in black churches. This was the Protestant solution to the Negro problem. Margaret Sanger had already created the Negro Project for Planned Parenthood, and now all of the Protestant churches went along with that. They all turned on Martin Mullen. They all turned on Moynihan, and they poured gasoline on the fire of black illegitimacy rate to the point where it's 80% now instead of 21%. So, yes, I agree with you.
Well, and that, so just to double down on that, what the former, the Moynihan plan was completely coherent and congruent with Rerum Novarum about the family wage and the father. And the latter one with a Protestant plan was completely against humana vitae, just proving that blacks have been victims of Protestantism. They shouldn't have adopted it. It's not good for them. The church needs to do a mission.
Right. And where were the black birth control clinics? In black churches. The church, the pastors all lined up because there was big money involved in this, and they established the birth control clinic in the church. This is a scandal.
So
absolute scandal. They were betrayed by their own leadership.
Do you have any insights into why the Catholic Church has not been sending missionaries to African Americans for the last 400 years? I don't know, or 100 years, or 50 years.
Sending missionaries where?
To African American communities, convert them, save them.
There was another turning point came in the 1930s when the whole black migration started into Philadelphia, and the Jesu Parish was the Jesuit parish in Philadelphia. It was right in the heart of the black, what would become the black ghetto. John J. McCloy grew up there. Okay, went to Harvard, but was on the wrong side of the tracks and could never be hired. Anyway, the Jesuit at that point proposed to Cardinal Doherty, let's just have an ethnic parish for black people. And it made perfect sense.
Oh, yeah.
Makes perfect sense to me, because that way, look, St. Malachy's is here. It's an Irish parish. You got all these black people. You can't evangelize them without providing a parish for them or providing a church for them. That's where the function of evangelism, to get the people into the church. They could have had their own ethnic parish, and Cardinal Doherty turned it down. I don't know why. I don't know why. I had the good fortune of knowing a lady by the name of Gloria Hardy and her mother, Mary Hardy, both immigrants up from Mississippi who ended up in Chicago. Mary Hardy became a Catholic, when she died, Gloria called me up and I said, well, where's the funeral? And she said, I think it was the Pearly Gates Funeral Home. I said, wait a minute, your mother's a Catholic. Why are we doing this at the Pearly Gates? Well, I got no answer. She was a parishioner at St. Sabina's. So I went there and it became obvious to me sitting through that funeral, or it was basically a funeral service, where the guys were talking about Mississippi as the way my parents would talk about Germany or Ireland. That was the country they came from. They had an ethnic identity based on the religion of Mississippi, which was an emotional religion. And Mary Hardy did not belong to that ethnic group anymore, and nobody wanted to talk about it. Everybody pretended she was still part of that group until the Polish pastor showed up from somewhere or other, and suddenly there was this, it's different now. That could have happened. That could have happened, but it didn't happen, and it still can happen. But history has moved on. But I think you're right. That would have been the vehicle. Now, yeah, you're right.
Now is the time. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Butch. Good questions here. Next, we're going to Eric Hayden. Go ahead, Eric.
Dr. Jones, can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, great. Hey, good to speak with you again. The Nicodemus Society is looking forward to seeing you, hopefully, in the fall. We missed you in the spring, but hopefully we can get a talk on the new book come fall, if you're available.
I'm ready to go anytime you are. Awesome. Just send me a date, and I'll be there.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll make sure we set that up. I did purchase the book. I'm going through it right now. I recognize from the title, from that U2 song, The Wanderer.
That's right.
By Johnny Cash. Is that correct?
That's absolutely right. You get an A in literary research. By the way, let me mention one more thing. In an interview with Judge Napolitano just the other day, Colonel Larry Wilkerson said, an American is a man who walks with a Bible and a gun. Exactly that. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. I was waiting to see if, as I go through the book, if there's a mention if you invoke the song at all in there, and I haven't come across it yet, but I just wanted to clarify that, a little bit of a shortcut for me. But I wanted to just make a quick comment about the LifeSite News situation. I think your speculation seems pretty sound with the reason why, potential reason why John Henry is out of there. having some Jewish money involved, because I've seen lately that Steve Jasevich guy, or however you say his name, he's on Twitter. His replies on Twitter are all basically very anti-Israel comments, attacking, you know, America's bombing of Iran, and you know, calling Christian Zionism a dangerous cult, and so on and so forth. And this is all within the last 5 days. So I wonder if, again, it's speculation, but I wonder if maybe there's the hidden grammar of the John Henry Weston outing is that, you know, he's all zogged up, and some of the other guys at LifeSite kind of want to detach themselves from that. I don't know if you have any thoughts on
that. I think that makes perfect sense, what you just said, because it's the most immediate change. The most immediate and most significant change is suddenly the emergence, the willingness of LifeSite News to take on the Jewish question. And the response was lightning quick. They blew it up. This was an organization that was created by a Jew in Canada who saved them from hate speech prosecution. It's been that deal, it doesn't work anymore. I think that this is consciousness. What else is it? Consciousness has moved forward to the point now where you cannot talk about abortion unless you address the Jewish question. Well, God bless Yalzevich for understanding that and acting on it. I just wish he had done it sooner. I wish he had done it in 2022 instead of just deleting my tweet. But anyway, better late than never. It blew up, so something new will come in its place that's better, because you can't have an organization like this based on an obsolete idea. And there's nothing more obsolete right now than the understanding of the Judeo-Christian position on abortion. That is totally obsolete. It doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Yeah, thanks for that. Jalcevich, I think he's taking a lot of heat from the trads, who are kind of in that whole camp with Bishop Strickland, and, you know, formerly Voris, and now Weston is their kind of new martyr, if you will. But it seems like there's an undercurrent going on there, and Jalcevich may possibly be on the right side. But anyway, thanks, Dr. Jones. Always a pleasure. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Great questions today. Let's go next. Let's see. Well, we'll do one or two more. This one's quick. We'll do two, but if it's not quick, we'll do one. And then I'm going to get to the chat, so you guys start typing in your questions now if you already haven't. Patrick Chanel. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hello. Yes, I would like to ask you about Pope Leo XIII's encyclical about Christian democracy. Now, I realize that today we have two parties, Republicans and the Democrats. Jews tend to be Democrats. Back in the day, he was advocating for a Christian democracy party. What are your thoughts on Christian democracy?
Great idea. But it's like putting the bell on the cat. That was a great idea too, but none of the mice could figure out how to do it. I can talk to you from experience about the CDU, the Christian Democratic Union in Germany, completely obliterated, has no relevance whatsoever, and is going to be swept aside. Even the Christian Socialist Union of Bavaria, which was even a stronger expression of Catholic political party, also has lost its identity and is going to be replaced probably by the AfD, the Alternative für Deutschland, which is not any stretch of the imagination Christian. The stronghold of the AfD is what used to be East Germany, which was the communist Deutsche Demokratische Republik. The Catholics have dropped the ball in Germany, and so the political party is totally meaningless, any type of political party. That's the only caveat I would say. Now, there are people, Convers wants to create an anti-Jewish party. I think that makes sense. We had an anti-Masonic party, bring everybody into it. But then again, you're going to run into the problem, how do we deal with the Jewish question? Do we deal with it from the Nazi perspective? Do we deal with it from the Catholic perspective? These are crucial issues that have to be answered. So I would say, yeah, if you had Catholic a Catholic unity, you certainly have theoretical unity in the teaching of the Catholic Church. Whether you have practical unity, that's another matter. And this is a matter of practicality. A political party is a matter of practicality. And so whether we can bring it about, I don't know. I don't know. We're evenly divided between Democrats. I mean, we as Catholics seem to be pretty much evenly divided between Democrats and Republicans, both of which neuter Catholic teaching. So I don't know. Elon Musk is talking about a political party. Certainly has the money to fund one, but what's going to be the unifying principle? I think it's going to have to be Catholic, because I don't think anyone else has the depth, the intellectual depth, to negotiate these troubled waters. So in some sense, yes, in some sense, no. And it all has to be created in the matrix of American identity, which is problematic itself. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it sort of does. I know that Elon Musk wants to start a third party as the American Party, so the Bible and Gun Party. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yes. What does it mean to be American now? The only thing, Trump understood this. That's why he channeled America First. There was an American identity there, expressed by people like Charles Lindbergh, Father Coughlin, and Henry Ford in the 1930s. I think that that was a moment where it could have happened, and the Roosevelt administration, the Jews, and British intelligence destroyed it, as Lindbergh said. So, certainly, we have roots in this regard that could accommodate. America First would have to be isolationist. That would mean we have to end the foreign wars. People voted for Donald Trump to do that. Now he's doing the opposite. It would mean restoring the industrial base. Trump is heading in that direction in a kind of incoherent zigzag fashion with the tariff thing and so on and so forth. So he's already evoked it. He just doesn't follow through on it. So someone should follow through on it. Someone should. Someone will have to, because this administration, we're 6 months into the Trump administration, and I hope I don't exaggerate, but I think it's a total failure. He has totally failed in everything he should have done. He should have walked in to the room with Putin 24 hours after he was inaugurated and said, let's make a deal. He should have ended that. He should have grabbed Netanyahu around the neck and said, no more bombs until you open Gaza to humanitarian aid. He failed on both of these things. He has pissed away the mandate of the American people, the goodwill that Putin had toward him. So I don't know whether anything is rescuable. I have to add something else to that. He has shown a troubling tendency to using profanity in public. This sign is a sign to me of a disintegration of his personality, of a personality that is just succumbing to terminal narcissism. This is not a good sign.
Thank you. God bless.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your question. And we're going to jump to the chats. And let's start here with Rumble. Rumble, Paulette's Mind asks, any comment on Grok going DEFCON on the Jews?
Yes. Yes. Who knew that Grok was an anti-Semite? What I think we're seeing here is Elon Musk retaliating against Donald Trump. I think this was a shot across the bow. You people, you push me around, I'll unleash Grok on you. He apparently pulled back on that. That's one way of interpreting it. Also, there's another way of interpreting it. And I think that the whole, I've said for months now that the Hitler story is the deliberate subversion of my narrative in the Jewish revolutionary spirit. Hitler was created by the FBI to undermine my narrative, which separated the Jewish question from the racial question. So maybe Musk is just playing along with the FBI playbook, which is basically resurrecting white nationalism to destroy any productive attempt to deal with the Jewish question as I do in the Jewish revolutionary spirit.
Next question on Rumble. How much, from Christian Sprang, asks, how much is Steve Bannon and his Jewish connections behind recruiting TLM Catholics, including Strickland, to get Trump reelected?
Steve Bannon's roots are always within the Jewish, the purview. He was a Hollywood producer. He then worked for, I think he worked on Wall Street for a Jewish firm. So he's firmly within that camp. I think that what he's doing now with, as soon as you get involved with someone like Strickland or these people, you are playing the divide and conquer role, which is what John Henry did, what the Jews did with John Henry. So I'm very suspicious of this when he recruits people who are not in good standing with the church in some sense or other. This whole movement that arose under Francis that was led by John Henry, or certainly a part of, certainly a significant part of it, was calculated to divide the church. And if Bannon's going to go down that road, if he's going to give a job now to John Henry, I can assume that his real role is to divide the Catholic people so that they're more easily managed by the Jews.
Next question on Cozy from a user. They ask, speaking of the CDU in Germany, is the German soul at its core Protestant or Catholic?
It's divided right down the middle. That is the whole problem with the German soul. And Luther did incalculable damage to Germany because he left a divided Germany behind him that has perdured for 500 years. The man who understood this perfectly was Adolf Hitler, who needed German unity in order to resurrect the country from the devastated state it was in after World War I. He tried to talk to the German Catholics and German Protestants, the Lutherans. He realized he couldn't unite Germany. He couldn't resolve the Reformation. And so he decided to go full pagan. Bring in Wagner. Let's talk about the Nibelungenlied. Let's go back to these myths, these racial myths. And that became the source of unity, which immediately excluded any Catholic input. The Catholics, because he made that step, took that step, the Catholics became the enemies, and the Catholic priests ended up in Dachau, the concentration camp. That was the beginning of the end of Hitler's regime. Tragic, but it always goes back to the split in that country between the between the Protestants and the Catholics that happened with the Reformation. So you have the East, basically the Data era was the Protestant part of Germany. It became the communist part of Germany after World War II. It is still, there's still this divide between the Ossis and die Wessis. It's compounded by the fact that the Catholic Church is divided. So it's a mess. I don't need to tell anyone, especially the Germans, that it's a one big mess where they're plunging toward annihilation. And the Greens, the supposedly ecological party, are now involved in imposing the Morgenthau Plan 2.0 on the German people, which will finish them off.
Next question from Paulie MG on Rumble. How do we combat Catholic Zionists? They seem to be impervious to scripture, let alone logic. Fellow Catholics are turning their back on me left and right.
Catholic Zionism is a total contradiction in terms. And so you can talk to them and try to be rational about that with arguments. But when you're getting to an organization like the Philos Project, which is a prime promoter of Catholic Zionism, you're talking about money, and money talks louder than reason does for people like this. And so they're funded by Paul Singer, the vulture capitalist. I found this out when I went to the Philos Project conference in Washington. There's Trent Horn there, a speaker. I'd like to ask a question. No, you can't answer a question because you have to type it into your cell phone so that we can censor it. These people are not honest people. They are whores who take money from Jewish vulture capitalists like Paul Singer. This is not disputable. We know this. And so you're wasting your time trying to talk to them, because I went to their conference. I said, I just like to ask a question. My question was, is it a sin to criticize Jews? Trent, please answer this question. I couldn't ask a question. So don't waste your time with whores who are speaking because they're getting Jewish money.
Okay, next question here from MV. Why on Telegram, why is LifeSite News important? Sounds like a few people read it, and with this, fewer still trust it.
It had a significant impact, I think, on the consciousness of people who were concerned about abortion. In a sense, they won when Roe versus Wade got overturned. And after you win, you always go through an identity crisis. And that's precisely what happened to LifeSite News. So I think it had, it was an important voice, but the people who were in charge allowed that to be taken. They went for the money. There, as I said, there are parallels here between Michael Voris and LifeSite News. First of all, they worked together. They were standing shoulder to shoulder until Michael Voris blew up his own operation by succumbing to his homosexual impulses once again. But he was there. He made a lot of money because of the McCarrick scandal. LifeSite News saw the same opportunity when Pope Francis issued the Traditionis Custodis. They went for the money. They weren't interested in truth. They didn't have an organized idea. And then lately, they finally wake up and realize that was all great. It's over. And they finally realize we got to talk about the Jewish question. And then the Jews pull the plug on them. So it's tragic. There was a better way. And I have to think that I could have contributed to that better way if they talked to me instead of dealing with me with the delete button.
Next question here is from Rumble. Christians Praying asks, do mainstream Protestants and Jews have the same ethics?
No. Let's stop. What do you mean by mainstream Protestants or homosexuals? All the order mainstream denominations have been taken over by homosexuals. So to that extent, the biggest promoter of homosexuality, homosexual marriage, are the Jews, of course. You go to the other end of the spectrum and you've got the Christian Zionists. Well, that's obvious that they're pawns of the Jews. So in a sense, I guess you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe they do share the same ethics or lack of ethics.
Cicero Marcus on Telegram asks, what could be the new archetype, American archetype for the future?
Walt Kowalski, the hero of Gran Torino. I have a whole chapter on Clint Eastwood, who is a crucial paradigm of American identity. Read that chapter and you'll understand why I say that.
From Mac Boomer on Rumble, question, Dr. Jones, what would you do if someone made a movie based on one of your books?
Ask for a large check for the rights.
What book would it be? Your novel or?
I have no idea. No one's beating down my door here, waving checks at me to ask for the rights to my movie. Why would they?
Rumble, let's see. Giliote Star asks, hi, Dr. Jones. In Chiva Catholica, the Jesuits propose an idea for foreign Jews without national land. How would you compare with Thomas Massie restricting dual citizenship in Congress?
Yes, I agree. That's what we have to do. We have to break IPAC's control over our government. We have to do this. And the question is, how are we going to do it? Thomas Massie is shown courage in opposing IPAC. He beat them three times. And now stupid Donald Trump, the egomaniac, is now jumping in into bed with IPAC and working to get him unelected. This is totally stupid. The fundamental issue facing the United States of America is Jewish control of our government. Can anyone dispute that? If you can get in touch with me. I don't think anyone can dispute this. Certainly not after Thomas Massie's interview with Tucker Carlson. Every single person in Congress except Thomas Massie has an IPAC minder. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene just tweeted today, IPAC should be registered as a foreign lobby. It's a good idea. Another guy who had that idea was John F. Kennedy, and he's dead because he had that idea. So again, it's like putting the bell on the cat. Great idea, but who's going to do it?
All right, it's about 6 o'clock. Want to do one or two more here?
Yeah.
All right, we'll do two more here. On Rumble from Fand R, how does a person who loves traditional Latin mass and traditional doctrines not contribute to division in the church?
By not contributing to division. First of all, if you love that, do you look upon Catholics who go to the vernacular mass as second-class citizens? I have experienced this personally. Do you refer to people, the overwhelming majority of the over 1 billion Catholics in this world, as Novus Ordo Catholics? This insulting, divisive response. If you avoid this and avoid the schismatic tendencies that are rampant in these groups, good. That will preserve Catholic unity. There is nothing intrinsically divisive about the Latin Mass. It was the universal rite for the church for centuries. It's the people who weaponize it who are the problem.
And last question of the night on Rumble from Nut4L. Nick Fuentes argued with Candace on race and had all the Jared Taylor talking points, and Candace sat there like a deer in front of a car. Can you please talk with Nick and present the Catholic narrative?
A shame on him. First of all, this is not Catholic. This is not Catholic. Read the damn book, Nick. This is stupid. This is, why are you a stupid Catholic? Race, the race ideology of Jared Taylor is totally stupid in and of itself. And anybody with a Catholic brain should understand it is totally incompatible with the universal church, which was created by Jesus Christ for all men. Well, no matter what their skin color is an idea that grew out of the English Protestant Reformation. It is totally un-Catholic. Can't he understand this? Why can't he understand this? Is he getting paid to be divisive? Or is he just stupid? I again, Nick, I'm your friend. You know, correct a wise man, you make a friend. Correct a fool, you make an enemy. It's your call.
Well, there you guys have it. Thanks again. EMJ Live is every Friday at 5 Eastern Standard Time, if you don't know. If you not already, please subscribe to Culture Wars Magazine at culturewars.com. And all of Dr. Jones's books, including the new book on American identity, can only be found at fidelitypress.org. The Telegram, the Cozy, the Gab, the Rumble, the BitChute. Like the video, follow us, and don't forget about this. I think I have the picture here. There it is, the St. Louis event coming up. If you're not, if you're in the area, if you feel like heading there, there's the information. You can pause it if in your rerun here to get all that info. And that's the little announcement at the end. Dr. Jones, final words.
Yeah, meet me in St. Louis.
Meet me in St. Louis. All right. God bless, guys, and we'll see you all next week.